The fall of Constantinople in 1453, the end of the House of Trebizond. Last week, we did away with the Palaiologi, this time, the House of Trebizond. Now, the lot of the imperial House of Trebizond was actually more tragic. The Emperor David enjoyed a comfortable pension for 2 years. But in 1463, his false friend, George Emerotes, reported to the Turkish authorities that the ex-emperor had received a letter from his niece, who was Uzan Hasan's wife, in which she suggested that her brother Alexis or one of his own sons should come and visit her. The Sultan, for some reason, chose to regard this as treason. David was thrown into prison at Adrianople on March the 26th, 1463, and on November the 1st, he and six of his seven sons and his nephew Alexis were all executed at Constantinople. Their corpses were forbidden burial. When the Empress Helena dug graves for them with her own hands and committed them there, she was sentenced to a fine of 15,000 ducats to be paid within 3 days, or she too would be killed. Devoted friends and retainers raised the money, but she retired to spend the short remainder of her life clad in sackcloth in a hovel of straw. Her youngest son, George, child of three, was brought up as a Muslim. Later, he was allowed to visit Uzan Hasan, from whose court he had fled to his sister in Georgia. There, he reverted to Christianity and married a Georgian princess, by whom he seems to have had children. But the further history of the family is unknown. His other sister, Anna, was sent into the Sultan's harem and was later given, but only for a time, to Zagnos Pasha, who was the governor of Macedonia. She, too, had been forcibly converted to Islam, but later in life she managed to retire to the countryside near her native Trebizond. She founded a village called Karana after her and endowed a church there. The dowager Maria Gattalusi lived on quietly in the imperial harem, and her son, another, Alexius, continued to enjoy the Sultan's affections. His ultimate fate is also unknown. According to tradition, he was allotted lands just outside of Pera and was known locally as the Son of the Bay. It is to him that the present district of Beyoğlu owes its name. Little is known of the fate of those of the Emperor Constantine's ministers who survived the fall of the empire, or of their families. If they recovered their freedom, they were content to live in obscurity. Once order was restored, the Sultan was prepared to permit the redemption of captives. On the receipt of a letter of fulsome flattery from the scholar Fiello, he released Fiello's mother-in-law, Manfredina Doria, the widow of John Crassolus, and sent her to Italy to join her son-in-law, with whom she said to have had a scandalously intimate in the past. Constantine's faithful secretary and friend, Phasantras, managed for several years to redeem himself and his wife. They retired to Corfu, where he maintained interest in his compatriots and his affection for his master's family. He went to Lucas on the invitation of Thomas's daughter, the Serbian dowager, to visit her son-in-law, Leonardo Tocco, whose sister had been the emperor's first wife. And in 1466, he journeyed to Rome to attend the wedding of Princess Zoe. Soon afterwards, both he and his wife took monastic vows. In his monastery, he completed the writings of his memoirs, and at the end of his work, he inserted his Declaration of Faith. In it, despite his friendship with the Unionist Party and his church, he could not bring himself to subscribe to the doctrine of the dual procession of the Holy Spirit. His historical notes extend to the year 1477, and he seems to have died in 1478. Some refugees retired to Venice to join the daughter of Phasantra's old enemy, Lucas Notarius. Anna Notarius lived there for many years, devoting what money she had to the relief of her compatriots. Two Greek cardinals lived on in Italy. In 1459, the death of Gregory Mamanus, the Pope elevated Isidore to be Patriarch of Constantinople, in defiance of all the traditions of the Byzantine Church. He died in 1463 and was succeeded in the empty title by Pisarion. Pisarion lived until 1472, spending his revenues in building up a fine library of Greek texts, which he bequeathed to the city of Venice and in giving help to Greek refugees. Archbishop Leonard returned to his see in Lesbos and was there when the Turks conquered the island in 1462. Once again, he visited Constantinople, but this time as a prisoner. He was soon ransomed and went to Italy, where he died in 1482. George Emeritus, who soon after the fall of Constantinople had written a begging letter to Bessarion to ask for money to receive his younger son Basil, had wormed his way into the Turkish favor by his intrigues at Trebizond. His cousin, Mahmud Pasha, remained his staunch friend and brought him to the Sultan's notice, and his position improved when his elder son Alexander became a Muslim. Sultan Mehmet was impressed by his erudition and commissioned him to make an up-to-date edition of Ptolemy's geography, for which Alexander, now a good Arabic scholar, provided the Arabic names and then a full Arabic translation. Later on in 1463, George fell in love with the widow of the last Duke of Athens, who was living on a pension in Constantinople, and wished to marry her, though his wife was still alive. The patriarch Dionysius refused to sanction the bigamous union. George, therefore, intrigued to have the patriarch deposed, and he himself turned Muslim. However, a few weeks later, he died suddenly while playing dice, perhaps as divine judgment. And that ends the tragedy of the events of 1453 and the fall of Constantinople and the collapse of Byzantium and Trebizond and many of the Christian kingdoms in that area. The next major threat to the Western Christian kingdoms will, of course, be an invasion and attack on Vienna by Suleiman the Magnificent, and then another time in the 1600s. Now, the sources for this: The Short History of Byzantium by Norwich, Fall of Constantinople, 1453 by Runciman, The Byzantine Art of War by Decker, The Byzantine Armies, 1325 to 1453 by Belazos. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, the course on Western Civ, and the various topics that I usually have CDs, but with which you can get them on SD cards or USBs. And as always, thank you very much.